It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Here we go again. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Ian the Horrible about to make landfall again. The historic storm has staying power, and coastal Carolina is about to feel its wrath.
The misery factor could kick in with a vengeance up and down the Carolinas.
After punishing Florida the past couple of days, a reconstituted Hurricane Ian is back in business and has the Palmetto State in his path.
Definitely a real threat hazard coming to our area. This is the first storm that's actually made a direct impact to South Carolina since Matthew in 2016.
Ian expected to roar ashore somewhere between Charleston and Myrtle Beach. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott.
If you do not have to leave your home right now, don't do it.
Landfall will coincide with high tide, and that is bad timing, says reporter Mark Strassman.
This part of the coast is known as the low country because so much of it sits at or below sea level.
In Florida, 21 deaths are blamed on Ian. 1.9 million Floridians are still without power. Robert Ray with Fox Weather.
This is a scene like no other. It is the fourth largest hurricane to ever hit the state of Florida.
President Biden promising to visit the Sunshine State once it's safe.
This could be the deadliest hurricane in Florida's history.
Governor Ron DeSantis describing the damage as biblical. Dana Sue says the city manager in Sanibel, Florida.
The damage is catastrophic and it is biblical. I've never seen anything like this.
Ian is the costliest storm to hit Florida since Hurricane Andrew in 1992. This man among the thousands who are now newly homeless in Fort Myers.
Big bad wolf come along and puffed it away, but I literally watched my house disappear with everything in it.
The Reverend Franklin Graham and his Samaritan's Purse disaster relief team is now on its way to help Florida bounce back.
It's just going to take a lot of just strong backs and some strong arms. And we're going to be down there probably for, it's going to be months. So it's not something you just come in for a weekend and fix it. It's going to take a long time.
Over 1,000 Samaritan's Purse volunteers will be descending on Florida soon as the Herculean recovery effort begins to get underway. Other news this Friday afternoon, Russia today announcing the annexation of 4 regions of Ukraine. Critics of Putin say he's trying to accomplish through the ballot box what he failed to do on the battlefield. Reporter Charlie Daggett.
On the day that President Putin finalizes that land grab, there's been an horrific missile attack not far from here on a humanitarian convoy in Zaporizhia. Dozens are feared dead.
Putin celebrating that land grab today with an elaborate ceremony at the Kremlin. Here he is speaking through a translator.
People from Kherson, DPR, LPR, and Zaporizhia become our citizens forever.
The head of the UN calls the annexation a dangerous escalation of the war with Ukraine. Suicide bombing in Kabul, Afghanistan today. At least 23 dead. It happened this morning at an educational center. Most of the victims were young women. An EMS lieutenant murdered yesterday in broad daylight in New York City. 61-year-old Allison Russo Elling stabbed 20 times in an unprovoked attack during her lunch break. New York City Police Commissioner Keechan Sewell.
This deadly, senseless, broad daylight attack on a uniformed EMT member is a direct assault on our society.
New York Congresswoman Elise Stefanik blames soft-on-crime policies for brazen attacks like this.
The governor of New York State and the mayor of New York City have blood on their hands, and radicals have been pushing this defund the police movement and the failed bail reform policies that prioritizes the criminals over law-abiding citizens.
The 34-year-old knife-wielding suspect arrested after barricading himself in his apartment. He's facing first-degree murder charges. Russo Elling, a 25-year veteran of the FDNY, and also served as a 9/11 first responder. The clock's ticking on Capitol Hill as a stopgap spending bill heads to the House floor for debate. It must be passed by midnight tonight to avert a government shutdown. The emergency spending plan Ukraine funds the government through mid-December. Several pro-life and Christian websites have been the victims of recent cyber attacks. Now Republicans in Congress want answers from Attorney General Merrick Garland. Former FBI Special Agent Jonathan Gillum doubts they'll get any.
The DOJ is ideologically driven. We know that the top of the FBI, since at least 2015, has been ideologically left.
Family Life's Greg Gillespie says the GOP wants to know whether these hack attacks are politically motivated.
One recent cyber attack was a theft of a large cache of data from Christian organizations. Hackers publicly exposed the personal information of thousands of donors who supported pro-life causes in recent years. Congressman Michael Cloud said Garland's Justice Department has turned a blind eye to partisan cybercrimes designed to intimidate religious and pro-life organizations. Greg Gillespie, Family Life News.
Thank you, Greg. Still to come, helping farmers, electric vehicles, and gun lawsuits. This is the Noon Report.
Well, very good afternoon to all. The weekend is upon us. Looks like we'll be grazed by the remnants of Hurricane Ian, at least in parts of the area. I'll have the latest on that in the detailed weekend call coming up. We'll see you in about 10 minutes.
All right, we'll see you then. Thank you, Kevin Williams at the Weather Center. Let's check the stories making news all across New York and Pennsylvania today. New York plans to follow in the footsteps of California and require all new vehicle sales be electric or hybrid by the year 2035. Governor Hochul says in 13 years, gas-only car sales will be banned.
I expect EV sales to go up. They've been up 30% already over 2021.
Hochul is making available $10 million in rebate money to help encourage the purchase of electric vehicles. The state DEC must still sign off on the gas car ban. A public comment period gets underway soon. New York Assemblyman Phil Palmisano accusing the governor today of turning a blind eye to victims in Steuben County. Flood victims in Steuben County.
This governor has turned her back on the people of Steuben County who were devastated by Tropical Storm Fred last August.
Residents of Woodhull, Jasper, and Troopsburg in the Southern Tier sustained over $35 million in flood damage from that storm.
How can she justify taking tax dollars from the people of Steuben County in the Southern Tier and say it's okay for their tax dollars to go down to New York City to help undocumented illegal immigrants, but it's not okay for their tax dollars to stay here, right here in their own communities to help their neighbors?
The storm last summer damaged or destroyed dozens of homes and caused the death of one woman. Rick Andrews runs the funeral home in Woodhull.
I just am concerned about the representation that upstate New York has. We're all taxpayers here as well, and it wasn't a big disaster, but it was pretty big to us.
The flooding from Fred forced the closure of the Jasper Troopsburg High School. A year later, it's still closed today. Former Pennsylvania Governor Tom Ridge has endorsed Republican Mehmet Oz for U.S. Senate. The celebrity heart surgeon in a statistical dead heat with Democrat John Fetterman, according to the latest Franklin and Marshall poll. Ridge bucked his own party back in 2020 when he backed Joe Biden for president. New York State setting up a research institute to promote immigration assimilation.
Making an announcement at a Hispanic Heritage Month celebration, Governor Hochul revealed the center will be run out of the SUNY Rockefeller Institute.
We are so proud to be the state that has the Statue of Liberty in our harbor, shared with New Jersey, but that's okay. It's a sign of who we are. It's a statement of our values.
The goal is to draft concrete policies on how to help immigrants assimilate to New York and become better situated so they don't feel separate from the rest of New Yorkers. I'm Natalie Migliori.
New York is one of the top dairy producing states in the country, but for many farmers, the cost of milk production is more than the profits they make. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand says that's got to stop.
We've seen this roller coaster where cost of production exceeds the reimbursement rate. And it has to stop. And so our farmers are living on thinner and thinner margins, and they can't make ends meet.
Gillibrand sponsoring a bill to give farmers more of a say on how the milk market works. New York is the third leading dairy producing state, behind only California and Wisconsin. Since 1990, though, New York has lost over 6,000 family-owned farms. Young men are suffering mightily the mental health aspects of this pandemic. Sabrina Cupid takes a closer look.
Suicides overall increased in the United States by about 4% from 2020 to 2021. That according to the CDC's National Center for Health Statistics. When you drill down, though, the report found that males ages 15 to 24 are at a higher risk than other groups, an increase of 8%.
Sabrina Cupid reporting. Spencer Vanetten High School in Tioga County, New York, has set up a GoFundMe site to cover the funeral costs of a 16-year-old student. Travis Allen, a senior at Spencer Vanetten, has died from injuries sustained after crashing his car into a home in Spencer back on Monday. A crisis intervention team available to help students, staff, and parents cope with this tragedy. AARP wants energy regulators to renounce the biggest utility rate hikes in New York history.
Yeah, that's right. AARP is calling on the Public Service Commission to reject the proposed rate hikes by New York State Electric and Gas and Rochester Gas and Electric, especially with consumers bracing for huge increases in heating bills this winter due to the quadrupling cost of natural gas. The companies want delivery rate increases of 31% by NYSEG and 19% by RG&E. Now, that does not include the proposed delivery rate hikes for gas, which NYSEG wants to increase by 19%, and RG&E is seeking a 21% hike, which are among the highest on record. Right now, more than 106,000 NYSEG customers and 65,000 RG&E customers are behind on their bills, with the companies threatening shutoffs to more than 100,000 of their customers. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. Pennsylvania has one of the highest rates of opioid abuse in the country. And according to researchers at Penn State, your chances of surviving an overdose will depend on where you live. Scientists in State College have found the availability of the anti-overdose therapeutic naloxone is key to survival, and less populated counties have less access to that life-saving treatment. New York's controversial new gun laws continue to face criticism and legal challenges. Here's Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Lawyers argued in court Thursday that the state of New York restricts people from carrying weapons in too many places. A judge in Syracuse is deciding whether to issue a temporary injunction to a law that bans guns wherever people congregate. At schools, churches, restaurants, and even in public parks. Governor Hochul and fellow Democrats passed the gun restrictions in an emergency session over the summer after the U.S. Supreme Court upheld gun rights. Six gun owners from upstate New York, including a pastor in Oswego County, are suing the state, claiming the gun-free zones are unconstitutional. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
All right, Brandon, thank you very much for that. We are coming up on 13 past the hour, and you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life. All right, let's check sports next. Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is conscious and moving after suffering a serious head injury in last night's loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, the QB was thrown to the ground in the second quarter, had to be carted off the field. Less than a week ago, Tua experienced a similar head injury in a game against Buffalo. It's the final weekend of Major League Baseball's regular season, and a division crown hangs in the balance as the New York Mets travel to Atlanta for a three-game series against the Braves. It starts tonight. Atlanta just a game behind New York in the NL East. Over in the American League, the Toronto Blue Jays returning to the postseason. They clinched a playoff spot by virtue of Baltimore's loss to the Red Sox. The O's prospects of playing October baseball getting dimmer by the day. Seattle's magic number to clinch a postseason spot now down to one game after a walk-off win last night. The Philadelphia Phillies remain just a half game up on the Milwaukee Brewers for a wild card spot in the National League. The Phillies fell to the Cubs last night. The Brew Crew lost to the Marlins. Who wants it, guys? Just 5 days left in the regular season. Aaron Judge trying to become the first Triple Crown winner since Miguel Cabrera a decade ago. Judge leads the league in homers and RBIs and is just a couple points shy of the Twins' Luis Arraez when it comes to batting average. Judge also gunning for a league record 62 home runs when the Yanks host the Orioles tonight. And back to football, finally, the NFL will not be moving Sunday night's game out of Tampa. The coast is clear, as they say. The league had threatened to relocate that Bucks-Chiefs contest to Minneapolis because of Hurricane Ian. Football back in Florida. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Price. And still to come on the Noon Report for a Friday, Kevin Williams takes a look at how Ian will impact your weekend weather. The Capital Connection crew weighing in on the issues in the news from Albany and Harrisburg. And at the end of the broadcast, the man who made Zoom meetings possible. We're paying tribute to the guy who invented the conference call.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Earlier this week, the world learned that 24 FBI agents with guns knocked on the door of the home of a pro-life activist. What justified this sort of public scene? Well, reportedly, the pro-life activist had shoved someone a year ago when the guy who was spewing vile things got in the face of his young son outside of an abortion clinic. While we continue to learn the details of the case, this seems to be yet another example of a kind of government overreach, a pro-abortion government overreach that's being played out in a multitude of ways. For example, a few months ago, California Attorney General Rob Bonta issued a consumer alert about pro-life pregnancy centers, accusing them of providing, and I quote, limited and potentially misleading resources for pregnant women, and of discouraging women from getting abortions. False advertising, like posing as a medical doctor or pretending to offer abortions when you do not, that is clearly against the law. And attorneys general are law enforcement officials. So if all this foul play is actually happening at pro-life pregnancy centers and not just might be happening, where are all the arrests? In short, what these attorneys general issued were not really consumer alerts. They were propaganda, ways of exerting political pressure. And unfortunately, it doesn't stop with these so-called alerts. Earlier this month, a collection of progressive senators wrote an intimidating letter to Heartbeat International, which operates more than 2,000 pro-life pregnancy centers across the country, accusing them of luring pregnant people into their centers. And all the while, the Federal Department of Justice still refuses to really investigate the actual attacks that have happened against pro-life groups and pro-life pregnancy centers around the country. One group, which has been tracking these attacks, which include things like throwing rocks through windows, firebombs, and spray-painted threats, has tallied 73 acts of vandalism or destruction since a draft of the Dobbs decision was leaked back in May. Now, if all of this seems backwards, that's because it is. Abortion has turned everything upside down in our country. Pro-life pregnancy centers offer free and crucial help to the most vulnerable women in the country. They're accused of luring women into harm. Extremist abortion advocates vandalize and threaten pregnancy centers, and attorneys general choose to target the pregnancy centers. Now, we can complain about this, but what we need to understand is this is the new reality, which means that now, more than ever, Christians have to rally around these pro-life pregnancy centers that are so important, so strategic, and exist in just about every town in America doing the work that no one else is doing. Right now, they need our support. They need volunteers, advocacy, and prayer. Increasingly, it is going to become important, especially in aggressive pro-abortion states, for community leaders, both in business and in the church, to publicly show and express their support. It will come at a cost to these leaders, but it will be absolutely necessary as these attacks increase. To learn more about the kind of harm abortion causes women and our entire culture, please join me and Alexandra DeSanctis, co-author of Tearing Us Apart, How Abortion Harms Everything and Solves Nothing, on Tuesday, October the 4th at 7 p.m., either live if you live near Holland, Michigan, or by live stream. To register for free, please go to focusonthefamily.com/lighthousevoices. That's focusonthefamily.com/lighthousevoices. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Maria Baer. For more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, please go to colsoncenter.org.
19 past the hour. Kevin Williams next.
Here is your family life weather forecast for this afternoon. Skies will range from sunny across the Niagara frontier to pretty cloudy across the Poconos. Temperatures will peak in the low 60s. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. A bit of rain comes in late tonight, especially south of I-80 in central and eastern Pennsylvania. Low temps, 40s and low 50s. For tomorrow, mainly cloudy. Be a bit of rain at times across parts of Pennsylvania. High temps near 60. And on Sunday, cloudy to partly sunny, cool and breezy, with high temperatures in the mid-50s to the mid-60s.
All right, Kevin Williams, thank you kindly. It is Friday, folks, the 30th of September, the last day of the month. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. Welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues. At the state capitals, they are, as always, Michael Gear at the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Well, gentlemen, strap in. Just a little over a month to go before the election. And Jason, I want to start with you on this one. Polls show when it comes to those kitchen table topics, Republicans have the advantage over Democrats. Anything like the economy or inflation or crime. But you look at the generic balloting, and it's pretty much even, Steven. And then you look in New York, and you see in those statewide races, the Democrats are way out in front. The question we have for you is, can we trust the polling and what they're telling us, or is there a built-in political bias?
Yeah, you know, I'm having a tough time trusting the polls over the last number of years now for a number of reasons. Some of that, I think, is the built-in inherent bias. There is media and many of the academic institutions that produce the polls, I think, do have a built-in bias. But even where that bias, is absent, you have situations to where, frankly, many people are just afraid to say what they believe anymore. When you ask them about situations regarding same-sex marriage, for example, no one wants to be referred to as a homophobic bigot. And that is oftentimes what happens in the current cancel culture climate. If you ask someone if they want to be where they are on the issue of crime or where they stand on Black Lives Matter, they don't want to be deemed as racist. And so they pull back on their responses and they aren't as honest. I think that is what is happening in some of these polls because the elections tend to show something different. And that's the poll that ultimately matters.
Yeah, we'll talk more politics coming up. But Michael, this story has just made national news and we want to get your thoughts on it because this hits close to home. Prominent pro-lifer from the Philadelphia area, Mark Houck by the name, father of seven, facing over a decade behind bars for allegedly shoving a clinic escort at a Planned Parenthood last year. Tell us about this arrest, if you would. What happened a week ago? The FBI says it didn't go down the way that Houck claims it did.
Yeah, so we've known Mark Houck for about 15 years. Anybody who knows him and the ministry that he leads called the Kingsmen would say that Mark is a man of impeccable character. He does a weekly vigil where he prays and does sidewalk counseling outside an abortion clinic in Philadelphia. This particular time in October of last year, he was there with his 12-year-old son, and at one of these clinic escorts, an elderly man started verbally accosting him and yelling at him and saying vulgar things to his son. Mark asked him to stop. He did not stop. He came towards his son and started continuing to do that, and so Mark pushed him away and the man fell down. Police came and investigated. They filed no charges because it was just a minor incident. Then the man filed in court criminal claim, and that was thrown out. And yet then the FBI comes and raids his home, arrests him, the Biden administration going after him under an obscure law called the FACE Act from back in the 90s. The FBI certainly came with a lot of guns drawn. They're disputing the numbers that his wife said were out there, whether it was 10 or 20, who cares? It didn't deserve this kind of raid for just a minor incident like that. And people are really outraged at what happened there.
Yeah, he's pled not guilty to the, yep, the charges. It's a federal case now. Houck's attorney yesterday said this was nothing more than an attempt to intimidate pro-lifers. Your thoughts?
Well, we're not going to let that happen. I think it is exactly that. You know, then President Biden did that speech in front of Independence Hall suggesting that there was massive domestic terrorism from conservatives in America, and this is their attempt to prove it. And when people look at this case and say, he just pushed a man down because the man was offending and accosting his son, people will say, wait a minute, this is way out of whack.
Yeah. Siena pollsters have Kathy Hochul up 17 points, Jason, in the New York governor's race over Lee Zeldin. Their one and only debate is Tuesday, October 25th. Does this move the needle at all in this contest?
I'm not so sure that that debate is going to move the needle. It's important for people to remember that no longer do we have a single election day, but it's essentially election month. Absentee ballots have gone out. You can request one for almost any reason today. You now have 10 days of voting before the actual election day. So you see an election season, and for that debate to be that late is a travesty. Voters deserve to know where the candidates stand on the issues before they cast their ballots.
Yeah, you know the old adage, if you can't beat them, join them. This seems to be the strategy of Democrats, Jason, to make the election season as long as possible. What do Republicans need to do to counter that?
Yeah, well, you saw that we had, you know, we hear of the Rose Garden strategy, you had the Biden basement strategy, and now you have, you know, the bob and weave that Kathy Hochul is undergoing. Republicans counter that by pounding away and speaking to what they are for, not just what they are against in the present administration. People want to vote for something, and that's the message that Republicans need to get out there to win, is that they are for lower taxes, they are for law enforcement, they are for law and order. And I think that will be what will win elections, is what a person is for, not necessarily what they are against.
Well said, Jason. Doug Mastriano, Michael, is for life, but he was forced to defend those issues after a comment that he made 3 years ago resurfaced about abortion. What did Mastriano say, and does this hurt his chances against Josh Shapiro?
Well, basically, it was a radio interview done on a national public radio station in Pennsylvania, and it had to do with the issue of prosecuting women and whether they should be, based on if you believe that that's an unborn child is a human life, should women be prosecuted? And the fact is that no one in the pro-life movement really believes that that's the case, and the law in Pennsylvania pre-Roe versus Wade, we did not prosecute women. The issue is that abortionists are the real criminals here, and you listen to testimony from former abortionists and talk about the tens and 20 and 30,000 abortions that they conduct. It's kind of like drugs. You go after the pushers, those that are pushing it, and not the women who in many cases are being coerced into abortion.
Attorney General Tish James, Jason, suing former President Trump for $250 million. Was she trying to throw some red meat at her base there, or is there something to these charges?
Well, I think it's undeniable that the Attorney General is throwing some blue meat out to her base. You know, this is a situation where in New York, if you say the name Trump, particularly for the Democratic base, there's just frothing at the mouth. And the Attorney General is putting out these charges against the Trump family so close to the election as an attempt to shore up her opportunities come Election Day.
All right. Thanks for that clarification. It's blue, not red. Trump may have a challenger in Mike Pompeo in 2024, Michael. He is going to be your guest speaker at the Friends of the Family Banquet. That's coming up next month in Hershey. For our listeners who are not familiar with that, tell us about what that evening is all about.
Well, it's our annual fundraiser, and we have Mike Pompeo in because he is a champion for the values that we at Pennsylvania Family Institute stand for. So it's going to be a wonderful evening of hope and inspiration about why getting involved can make a difference on the issues that we care about, on sanctity of life, marriage and family, religious liberty. It's going to be a great evening.
Great article on your website this week, and we'll give that website at the end here, Jason, about where New York ranks when it comes to promoting religious liberty. And there's no state in the country that does a worse job of that than New York. In what ways are religious freedoms under assault in the Empire State?
Yeah, it might be better to ask which ways they're not.
Yeah.
You know, our Constitution, our state Constitution, actually has pretty strong defense for religious liberty. But in recent years, court decisions have been eroding even that. And so whether you see the pandemic policies or you see mandating abortion coverage for employer health insurance, it's really a problem. And in the last special session, there was passage of what is called the Equality Amendment. Amendment, but essentially it would enshrine abortion and reproductive health choices, and it would enshrine the LGBTQ agenda into the Constitution, and that would further erode religious liberty in the Empire State. It's a huge problem we got to wake up to.
All right. Michael, hot off the presses, the 2022 voter guides are here. Tell us what is on the guide this year, Michael.
Well, we're covering the statewide races, the governor's race, the lieutenant governor, and then the United States Senate, as well as members of Congress and state legislative races. We have the online version, which people can access right away at pafamilyvoter.com. That's pafamilyvoter.com. And then the print guide will also be available for churches and others to order through our website or by calling our office.
All right. And it is okay for churches to hand out those voter guides. I want to make that clear as well. Hey, that's all the time we have this week. But if folks want to learn more about where New York stands in this fight to promote religious liberty, got some work to do in New York. Jason, where can folks read that article?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
And if there's still time, sign up for the Friends of the Family Banquet. I know that one will be filling up fast. Michael, where can folks go and learn more?
PAFamily.org.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. The name of the program, Capital Connection, comes your way Fridays during the noon report or online anytime, familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Got a battle going on. High pressure that brought a chilly night last night, chilliest of the season. It will be up to the north while the remnants of what is Hurricane Ian will come from the south. The result looks like some rain in parts of Pennsylvania late tonight and tomorrow, with clouds dominating in New York State where it should be mainly dry. Behind the feature, more in the way of sun returns on Sunday for at least parts of the area. In the meantime, for this afternoon, skies will range from pretty sunny across the Niagara frontier to pretty cloudy across the Poconos. Temperatures will peak in the low 60s. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy. A bit of rain comes in late tonight, especially south of I-80 in central and eastern Pennsylvania. It stays dry elsewhere. Low temps, 40s and low 50s. For tomorrow, mainly cloudy. Be a bit of rain at times across parts of Pennsylvania. High temps near 60. And on Sunday, cloudy to partly sunny, cool and breezy, with high temperatures in the mid-50s to the mid-60s.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Finally, noon today, the inventor of the conference call has passed away. We get the story from Family Life's Brian Querry.
People who rely on Zoom, FaceTime, and other audio and video instant messaging platforms have Giorgio Coralupi to thank. The longtime Western Pennsylvania resident and businessman who invented the technology for the digital teleconference call from which those apps were derived passed away this week. Coralupi is being remembered not only for his inventive mind and business contributions, but also for his devotion to his family, his faith, and to making the world a better place. Audrey Russo, president of the Pittsburgh Technology Council, may have put it better than anyone else, saying of Coralupi, "He was doing Zoom before Zoom was Zoom." Giorgio Coralupi was 88 years old. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
All right, very interesting. Thank you, Brian. And that's our world for Friday, the 30th of September. Have a wonderful weekend. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.